listening to another edition of It's Preaching Time. This broadcast spotlights Bible preaching that will feed your soul and stir your heart. And now for today's Bible message, The Healing of the Nations by David Gibbs.
Turn quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to talk about a verse many of you have heard before, but I want to put it in a context of healing for this nation and the nations of the world. And you know, as you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, in just a moment we'll read the whole verse, but those first three words I think are fairly key. It starts out with, if my people. Say those three words this morning. If my people. Notice what it does not say. It does not say if the government shows you great favor. Notice it does not say if you win all of your cases or if the evildoers discontinue being evil. How many understand from the beginning of time to the modern day, evildoers are going to be a problem? And God says the solution, if you want to unleash my healing power, it starts with my people. Then notice as he gives the formula. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and notice this last phrase of promise, and will heal their land. How many believe God could heal the United States of America? How many believe God could heal the country of Mexico? How many believe God could heal Africa or Asia or Canada or any nation in the world? But it starts with my people. Now, he gives four steps, and they're real simple. They're laid out in the verse. He says, first of all, my people have to humble themselves. You say, David, how do I humble myself? You know what that is? That's where you make the decision this morning that what you think doesn't matter anymore. Now, we're sitting here with a group of preachers. We're sitting here with a group of Christian leaders. We're sitting here with a mostly American crowd. And when you say, what I think doesn't matter, there's a natural resistance. We live in a society right now where people love their own opinion. I mean, we have talk radio. How many understand there's lots of opinions? Talk television. President gives a speech. We hire 9 people to tell him what he just said. The Internet. How many figured out everybody's got an opinion? Twitter, Facebook, tweets, retweet, people, you know, going viral. All right, we're in a society right now that almost worships human opinion. But you know what God says? I want my people to humble themselves. I want them not to be focused on their own opinions. And by the way, if we're honest, we'd all admit this. How many have ever had a truly stupid opinion? May I see your hand, please? Yeah, sure. Well, we all make mistakes. By the way, the Bible teaches that. Your flesh, including how you think, will fail you. But you know what God says? I want my people not to rely on what they think. I want them to humble themselves where they rely completely on what I have said in my word. How many understand that's humbling yourself? I'm not going to go out and do what I think. I'm not going to do what might be the trendiest or the best or the newest in the opinions of others, but I'm going to humbly go forward and do exactly what God says. Now, you know, that's interesting. It's what you do when you get saved. How many rejoice that when you get saved, you set aside what you were thinking before and you take God at His word? By the way, that's why they're upset with Jesus in the courtroom. Jesus said there's only one way to heaven. And by the way, how many agree with Jesus on that? Amen. No man comes to the Father but by me, referring to himself as the Son of God. They don't want that exclusivity. They want their opinions to control. And you know, we're in a society right now where people have lots and lots of opinions. I mean, I sat down on an airplane next to a fellow, and he said, "What do you do for a living?" Now, I'll be honest, if you tell them that you're a lawyer, they don't like that real well. And if you tell them you're a preacher, they don't like that either. So I said, "Well, I'm a lawyer who helps churches." And that confused him for a while. And he then kind of looked over at me and said, "Like, you're a spiritual sort, eh?" Now, Dr. Barber, I mean, it's a witnessing opportunity. I don't like to chat on planes, but, you know, I'd have felt pretty bad if I didn't say something. And so I said, well, yeah, you might say that. Well, I've got it all figured out. I said, "You do?" He said, "Yep." He said, "I am God." Now, at this point, I reached over and stuck my hand out. I said, "Nice to meet you." He said, no, "You're God too." And he starts pointing at all these other people on the airplane. And I said, "Wow, this is interesting. I didn't know God needed Southwest Airlines to fly places." But this fella, he's got it all figured out that we're all gods. That means we can do whatever we want, any way we want, except, how many understand there's always rules? Can't be mean to the other gods, can't make fun of the other gods, can't do all these different things. And finally, he took a breath. And at this point, I said, "Where'd you get all this?" I mean, I thought maybe he'd join a cult, a little bit of an unusual guy. And you know what? With no shame whatsoever, he said, "I made it up." He said, "I was just sitting at my kitchen table one night, and he said, I was thinking about deeper things, and this just makes sense to me." Now, how many understand for that man to get saved or for anybody to get saved, what's he got to do? He's got to humble himself. He's got to be willing to say, "You know what, I'm going to set aside what I'm thinking, and I'm going to take God," and by the way, how many rejoice that we have his word? We know what it is. "I'm going to take God at his word, and I'm going to humble myself." Now, we see it in salvation, because it's easy to see. But how many understand it can get a little harder to see in ministry? Because all of a sudden, you're saved now, and you're going to heaven. And you can't lose it. And how many rejoice you can't lose it? But all of a sudden, situations, ministry, things come up, and you would never verbalize it. But here's what happens. You go, I know what the Bible says, but. I understand that but's a dangerous word right there. But I think, well, I've heard, well, I want to try, well, maybe this. And all of a sudden, you start doing what you think as opposed to what God himself has said. And you know what God says? If you want that healing, if you want that power, if you want to reach your city for Jesus, you want to reach your country, you want to reach the world, number one, would you humble yourself? How many understand we're not going to do it? It's going to be God doing it through us. And are you willing to say, "God, I'm going to take you at your word"? Notice what he says, number two, after you humble yourself, he says, would you pray? I loved what Dr. Barber said in the breakout session about, you know, one of the things that's sadly lacking in most Christian leaders' life is enough time in prayer. And you know, sometimes we say, well, I believe in prayer, but how many understand believing in prayer is different than praying? I mean, if I were to ask you this question, don't raise your hand, don't embarrass yourself, but if I were to say, when was the last time you spent an hour in prayer for your ministry, for your country, for your community? Again, don't raise your hand. We wouldn't embarrass anybody here. But most people, even pastors, would say an hour in prayer. I don't know that I can I don't know that I've ever done that. I mean, maybe at a hospital or something. Now, what is an hour? That's 60 minutes. That's the length of a longer television show. It's about half a football game, a little less. And all that's probably been in your life in the last 30 days, maybe even in the last week. And we've got time for that, but we don't have time to communicate with the all-powerful God. Now, I know we don't necessarily enjoy the politics of the current occupant of the White House. But if I were to say to you, at your own expense, you can get to Washington, and I will get you 1 hour with the president. Now, you got to pay to get there. You got to break away from whatever you got to do. And, I mean, you can witness at him. You can tell him your opinion. But, I mean, for 1 hour, you could have contact with the elected leader of the free world. You can give your input. You can say whatever you want to say. Lots of you would say, that's a pretty great opportunity. I mean, you mean I could have 1 hour to talk to this very important man in the eyes of the world, that's very powerful, and I would have that opportunity to speak to him for an hour, and bunches of you would take advantage of that if we could do it. But how many understand you got a greater opportunity this afternoon? It's not to talk to the president. You have the opportunity to talk to the God who made the president. And by the way, how many believe it is God who raises up governments? And it's God who brings down governments. And by the way, how many believe God isn't real surprised what's going on in America? I mean, how many believe God does look down on 56 million babies and say, you know what, I need to judge that country because they're not protecting those precious gifts that I'm giving. If my people, number one, humble themselves, number two, if they would pray, then number three, seek my face. The word seek there connotes with some excitement. Could I just ask you this, because I know we've got leaders, we've got people in ministry. How excited are you about your ministry? Have you lost the joy of it? I'll let you in on a little secret. The world will never get more excited about Jesus than you are. Now, let me go back a little bit. Go back to when you got saved, if you want to, or maybe when you jumped into ministry. Go to either time period in your mind. And here's my question. Were you excited? And the answer is, yep. When you got saved, it was like, wow, I'm excited. You'd want to witness to the devil if you could have seen him. And boy, you went into ministry. You were going to build a church. You were going to conquer the world. You were going to reach a nation. You were ready to go. Now here's my question. As you sit here in 2014, are you more excited today than you were then? You say, now, David, you know, let's be real. More excited? I mean, I'm still excited, don't get me wrong, but I've been hanging around some of these other Christians. And some of them, they have, like, the spiritual gift of sucking the joy out of you. I mean, I figured out I had to, like, minister to people. And you know what? The enthusiasm can disappear. And you know what God says? It's my people that humble themselves, that pray, and are excited about what they're doing. How many believe an excited spirit is a contagious spirit? See, people call the NCAA and they want us to help them with a case, and we're honored to do that. But we always walk it through three things, and this is a good thing in your ministry as well. Number one, is it a right stand? And by the way, how many believe a right stand will always line up with the Word of God? Okay. Number two, do these people want to do it the right way? And how many believe there is a right way and a wrong way to do things? You can be pro-life, but how many believe you should not be shooting abortion doctors? Okay, that's a wrong way. You're committing murder. You may have a stand that is admirable, but your methods are inappropriate. And so, step one, the right stand. Number two, are you doing it the right way? But here's a third one, and we lose this in fundamentalism sometimes. Are you, number three, doing it with a right spirit? And how many believe the spirit is your testimony? And by the way, there are folks that you and I would say, certainly in our country, and I know others around the world, that they're right, and they're trying to do it the right way, but how many figure out their spirit is so unpleasant that they're not able to unleash God's healing power? God says, if my people humble themselves, number two, if they pray, but then number three, if they're seeking my face with that enthusiastic spirit, then notice number four, if they would turn from their wicked ways. Now, you may say this morning, David, there's bad stuff around the world. I mean, and by the way, how many figured out America is now not just exporting missionaries, we're exporting lots of evil stuff too. Hollywood, MTV, legal trends. I mean, I was in Argentina in June, and I was there to speak to the parliament, which was an honor. We do some international work as we can to influence. We go in as experts on constitutional law, and I'm able to then speak to government leaders and try to help them go in a pro-family, pro-liberty direction. And we were before the Argentine parliament, and we were talking about undoing. They had just passed same-sex marriage, which is really, you know, people talk about marriage, but how many understand it's just the redefinition of marriage? Because once you move away from God's standard, how many understand you have no standard? That's, by the way, why the judge in Utah just said polygamy is okay. That's why now almost 20 of our states have same-sex marriage. They're just changing away from a biblical standard. But we were there to help the Argentines, the leaders there, get gay marriage undone. And guess what happened? The United States Supreme Court handed down their ruling that was largely in favor of redefining marriage. And it was a fascinating experience for me, just because I don't travel as some of these men do internationally as often, but to watch the iPads and the iPhones and the electronic devices light off, and to watch all of these people get the same news you watch, just in a different language, and the commentators coming down that the United States Supreme Court has now just ruled this way. And one of the members of parliament looked at me and said, David, it's been a good fight. But he said, we will never undo it in our country after what your Supreme Court just did. How many understand at that point we're not just exporting the gospel? We're exporting a lot of things that are very, very troubling. But remember this verse wasn't written to that crowd, it was written to my people. And how many believe we do have a problem in this country where a lot of people get comfortable harboring sin in their lives? And you say, I don't understand why there's not a power. I don't understand why there's not a healing. I don't understand why I can't be effective. But then they have things in their life that they know to be wrong. And how many believe God's pretty clear, if you're harboring something in your life you know isn't right, the biblical command is not to get counsel about it. The biblical command is not to think about it. The biblical command is to turn from it. And by the way, if you've done something you regret, how many believe God will let you turn from it? But he doesn't want you to keep going back to it. If my people do these four things, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, what will God do? Number one, God will hear. How many are glad God does hear us when we pray? Number two, God will forgive. How many are delighted God doesn't hold grudges? But then don't miss the power of the verse. It says, God will heal. Now, how many rejoice that God could heal the nations of the world? But how many believe God could also heal your ministry? God could heal your relationships. God could heal your problems. God is the all-powerful God. And how many rejoice that he has that power to heal? If my people. You want to go forward and do great things for God. I know many of the missionaries here. I know many of the pastors. I know many of the evangelists. Great people. But be careful. You say, I want to avoid burnout. I don't want to get discouraged. I don't want to get off track. Follow God's formula for healing. If my people. this morning, say, Lord, anywhere that I'm relying on me and not your word, please get me back on your book. God, this week, I need to spend more time praying to you than I do watching TV. How many believe that'd be a major prayer improvement for a lot of folks? God, I want to find that joy again. Maybe you just need to fall in love with Jesus again. How many remember the fact that he saved you and you didn't deserve that? And get the joy of your ministry. And then if there's something in your life, you say, nobody knows this but me. How many understand? Turn from it. Oh God, hear us. Oh God, forgive us. And oh God, would you please heal? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Gibbs, just in the quietness of my own heart, sitting in the seat, the Holy Spirit talked to me. And I do want God's healing power. I want it in my life. I want it in my ministry. I want it in my nation. I want it in my community. I want it in my family. God, this morning, your Holy Spirit spoke to me. If that's the prayer of your heart, just slip a hand up and back down. We're not counting. We're not taking names. It's just a little physical movement to affirm what the Lord's doing in your own life. A lot of hands. You can put them back down. It's just between you and the Lord. Father, this morning, you've seen our hands. Lord, more important than an uplifted hand, you've seen our hearts. And Lord, our prayer, as we look at the United States of America, we pray for healing. Lord, as we look at Fort Worth, Texas, we pray for a healing. Lord, as we look at Mexico and the other nations of the world in such great and desperate need, Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, as we look at the families and the friends and the children and the grandchildren represented in this room, Lord, I pray you put protection and, Lord, that you put healing in each and every situation, each and every life. Lord, don't let us rely on ourselves. But Lord, let us totally depend on your book. Lord, let us reaffirm our commitment to prayer. Lord, re-spark the energy, the passion. Give us that joy once again. And Lord, where we are failing or struggling, Lord, would you give us the grace, would you give us the strength to turn from what we know to be wrong? And God, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for forgiving us. And Lord, thank you for doing what only you can do. Thank you for healing. In the great and matchless name of Jesus, I pray, together we say, amen.
You just enjoyed listening to The Healing of the Nations by David Gibbs. Tune in tomorrow at the same time to hear more good Bible preaching. Also visit WZYN.org to find more helpful sermons.